Welcome to Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast with Alexia Leachman, the weekly nine-month podcast to help parents-to-be look forward to their fear-free childbirth. Alexia is a pregnancy and head trash clearance coach and the author of Fear-Free Childbirth, How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy and a Positive, Pain-Free Birth. As a mum who's had two fear-free and pain-free births, Alexia wants to share with you how she overcame her pregnancy and childbirth fears, so that you can look forward to having a fear-free birth too. Over the nine-month life of this podcast, Alexia will be sharing some real-life stories from mums and dads, insights into the latest childbirth research, inspiring tales from birth professionals, and some tips and techniques for clearing your fears and stresses. If you would like to receive a free chapter from her book, then head over to fearfreechildbirth.com, where you can also sign up for her email series, How to Have a Stress-Free Pregnancy. But now, it's time for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, as you know, I want to really help you to have a fear-free childbirth. That is what this podcast is all about. And for me, one of the main sources of fear when it comes to childbirth is fear of the unknown. And so one way you can really help to eradicate that fear is just start educating yourself about labour and childbirth. But that can be a little bit overwhelming because there's so much information out there. You know, do you Google it? Can you rely what you find on Google? And what about all those books? And when are you going to find the time to read all those books? And where should you start? Which book is the one to start with? Well, stop fretting. I've got the answer. There's a new documentary that's recently been released called Beautiful Births. It was released in late 2014 with an online release in March 2015. So this is really, really new. And this is a fantastic one-hour documentary. In fact, it's 58 minutes, so it's not even an hour long. And it really gives you a top-line view of everything that you need to know about childbirth, but more importantly, it shows you how beautiful birth can be. Now, I've got a real treat in today for on today's episode, because on today's episode, I'm actually going to be speaking to the director of Beautiful Births, Jackie Blue. Now, Jackie has got a phenomenal backstory with her own birth experiences. She's got five boys and she's got twins included in that, so that's four birth experiences. So when I spoke to Jackie about her film, she also shared with me the reasons why she wanted to do the film, but more importantly, her birth experiences. And my goodness, there's so much to learn just from listening to her own experiences, and certainly will give you a lot to think about on how you might want to think about preparing for your own birth so that you can have the most positive birth experience possible. But that is not all. Jackie has also generously given a massive discount for people who want to buy the film, watch it online. So during our interview, she also shares a discount code. So listen out for the discount code during the interview as well. So I'm not going to go on anymore, but I'm just going to hand over now to the time that I spoke to Jackie Blue all about her film Beautiful Births and her own birth story experience. Enjoy the chat. Well, welcome, Jackie, to the Fear-Free Childbirth Podcast. I'm so pleased to have you on the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, now, you've recently launched the Beautiful Births documentary. And so when was the official launch date of the documentary?
We did the official screening. The theatrical screening was in September in Fort Lauderdale, which is where we had filmed. We did the sneak preview the night before in Ocala, and then we did the theatrical screening in Fort Lauderdale. We did a Q&A session afterwards where we had several of the women in the film with me doing a Q&A session. And that was hosted by Gina Kirby of the Progressive Parenting Network. She flew in from Texas just to be there for the screening, and that was really cool. That was great. And then so we launched it. The DVD launch was November 12th, and that's exclusively available through the website. And then we just launched the online streaming Vimeo version, or it's available on Vimeo, rather. We just launched that on March 2nd, so it's now available online worldwide.
Fantastic, fantastic. So your film is very much a newborn right now.
Basically, yeah, it's still in its infancy and really want to get it out to the world, to women worldwide. Originally, when I made it for what I felt. I didn't know what it was like in other countries, really, aside from what my midwife had told me. But seeing the response worldwide has been amazing. Mm. And it's really let me know that there's a need for this.
There absolutely is a need. And I just, would you mind just sort of, I mean, I watched it literally about an hour before coming on the call with you, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I totally agree, there's definitely a need for a film like this for women to watch. But here we are talking about it. So would you mind just letting the listeners know, if they haven't seen your film or don't know anything about your film, would you mind just giving a little bit of an overview as to what Beautiful Births is all about?
Absolutely. Well, see, I made Beautiful Births. The idea to make Beautiful Births came to me after I'd had all my children, when a lot of my friends or sisters of friends, friends of friends, started coming to me and asking me all sorts of questions, knowing that I'd had three hospital births and one out-of-hospital birth. I had one C-section and three VBACs. I had an OBGYN, I had nurse midwives, and I had licensed midwives. Variety of experiences myself, and I was very outspoken about it. On my social media pages, you know, birth was something I became passionate about during all of my own personal experiences with it. So because I was outspoken about it, friends would let me know that, oh, well, I have a friend, or I have a sister, or I have a sister-in-law or a friend of a friend that's pregnant that wants to know information about either water births or how to avoid having a C-section, or had a C-section and wants to have a VBAC, and you're the only person I know that's had one. So I was getting a ton of questions all the time. And I also know that from my own pregnancy experiences, that when I was pregnant personally, and with all the women I've spoken to, when a woman's pregnant, she craves this information and can't get enough of it. And when you turn on the television, all you see is the high risk, emergency C-sections, all the scary stuff. And that's not what my experiences were. And it was not, you know, the women that were coming to me with questions, they wanted to know stuff that wasn't being shown on TV. And so that's when I realized, okay, well, I'm going to film school and I'm passionate about this subject. What can I do? I can take my skills and my talents and my passions and fuse them into one and make a film. So that's what I was able to do. And that's what Beautiful Births, that's how Beautiful Births was born, the concept of it. I was also really fortunate that during the time that I decided to make this film, my lifelong best friend had become a birth photographer, and she was working at the Ocala Birth Center. She was training to become a doula and was working as a birth assistant and a birth photographer. So she was able to license her photos to me, and that's where all these amazing images came from in the film.
Mm. Yeah, there were really some lovely, lovely, beautiful images in the film. Really lovely.
Yeah, those come from Starry Eyes Photography, from Jackie Corpola. She's a lifelong friend of mine and very, very talented artist. I'm a huge fan of her work. And when I saw her birth photography and I told her what I was doing, she jumped on board. She got really excited. And I ended up interviewing her for the film as well, because it just kind of coincided that, you know, the two Jackies were both working in and passionate about birth and the whole subject matter. So It came together in a really nice way.
And the women that you interview in the film, how did you find those women?
I had put out a call with my midwife. I had actually, in 2011, I sat down with my midwife, Debbie Marin. She owns in the Hollywood Birth Center, and she's their head midwife. I had spoken with her in 2011, and I told her what I wanted to do, and then she didn't hear from me for 3 years while I was finishing school and learning, you know, everything I needed to learn to make the project what I wanted it to be. Mm. And then when I got back in touch with her about it, she gave me, she put up flyers and notices at the birth center. She gave me great resources. And all of a sudden, my phone was flooded with phone calls, which was great. I had a lot of women who, I wanted to really speak with women who had had in and out of hospital experiences so that we could compare the stories. And because I really wanted to show that difference, because there is a huge difference. And so we narrowed it down. I'd actually interviewed a few more women than had gotten into the film, but unfortunately some of those interviews had gotten lost or some of the files had been corrupted. So, but the ones I managed to salvage, I was really happy with. The women responded. We put out an ad with the Ocala Birth Center for women who wanted to share their stories and the Hollywood Birth Center.
Now, one thing that really surprised me, I mean, I personally, I've had two home births and I feel very fortunate to have had births like that. And when I was listening to their stories at the beginning of the film, and some of them were sharing how they were being treated by some of the medical staff, I was really quite shocked that women are treated in that way. Even though it was really quite surprising for me that, and I mentioned this to you before we started talking on the podcast, that it looked like they were being bullied. And it's really quite shocking that women are treated in such a way in that hospital environment, isn't it?
It really is. It's really sad to me. And I think that's something that really needs to change. Here in America, women in the hospital, you're not allowed to photograph, you're not allowed to videotape anything. And I feel that you should be able to, because women should be protected. And if you're videotaping or your spouse is videotaping the birth of your child and the doctor does something that's not okay and oops, you have it on video, that shouldn't be a liability for the hospital, which it is. It should be to the women should have that right to be able to protect themselves when they're being bullied. And then there's another term that I really hate to use. It makes me cringe. But it's very accurate, and that's the term birth rape. And a lot of women, if you go onto the birthing forums and like the online communities with pregnancy and birth, and you'll see that word, that term, birth rape, it's thrown around a lot, and it makes me really sad that women are treated this way. And I feel like if more women know their rights and they know that you don't have to submit to what they tell you, that you're paying them, they work for you, that you have the right, you have rights to your body. They can't do things like episiotomies and forceps without your consent, but they do it anyway. And then, you know, women, unfortunately, don't have a lot of legal recourse. You sign your rights away, basically saying that you won't, you have nothing on video to protect you, so it's your word against theirs, but you've also signed your rights away with the consent forms as soon as you sign and walk into the hospital.
And so really, having a film like yours so that they can watch that and start educating themselves is really quite crucial in that kind of, with that kind of backdrop for so many women in the US.
I feel like some women have no choice. Like I have a cousin of mine who wanted to have a natural birth, and she had some medical problems that unfortunately prevented her from, it's unsafe for her to give birth outside of a hospital. So, I wanted to make this film for, and I know like for military, they have no choice. They cannot go to a midwife. The government does not allow it. So they have to go to a hospital. And, I feel like for women who have no choice but to go to the hospital, I want them especially to watch my film, because they need to know that they have rights, that they can refuse certain things, and they need to know what Pitocin is and not just be told, okay, we're going to start a Pitocin drip now. They need to know that, okay, well, this has consequences. It can stop your baby's heart. Do you still want us to go ahead and do it? I feel like women should know the risks associated, and in the hospital they don't want to tell you that. So I want my film to at least spark that idea where they're going to say, well, what is Pitocin and do I want it? And if they say they're going to give it to me, I can say no. Awesome. And you know, let's see women take control of birth again. That's what I really would like to see happen.
And why do you think, why are so many women not educated about birth? Certainly when I came up to my when I was pregnant, and I was amazed that I hadn't been educated about birth, and I literally knew nothing about this, and I sort of wondered, how did I get to this point in life and not know this stuff? And I just wondered if you got any views on why is it that we just don't know this stuff? Is it because we're just not interested in it, or is it because the education system is failing us, or mothers aren't passing this stuff on? What do you think about that?
I think it's a few things, and I think some of it does have a lot to do with media. And, you know, people think, well, I can just turn on the TV and watch, you know, Call the Midwives or One Born Every Minute or, you know, whatever shows happen to be on about birth and pregnancy at the time. Or, you know, and I think a lot of women get their information from TV, or they just trust their doctors might have an ulterior motive, that the doctor might not care about what you want for your birth. The doctor might want to just get in, get out, cut the baby out of you and go home to his own family. You know, there's when you got to follow the money. And that's where Ricky Lake's documentary, what was it called? I forget what it's called. But she did a documentary. But hers focuses heavily on the medical side, the medical community, the business of being born. And they focus on the business side of birth. I wanted to show the other side of birth. But I think a lot of it does have to do with the fact that people don't question their doctors. And if the doctor says, you know, you have to do this, then a woman's going to do it. When you read books, like I didn't know until I was with my midwife during my last pregnancy, my fourth pregnancy, at no point in any of my other pregnancies did anybody discuss diet counseling or nutrition with me with regards to pregnancy. And when I had my midwife was the first time my licensed midwife, the nurse midwife, didn't give me any information about this. The OBGYN definitely didn't give me any information, but my midwife sat down with me and she wrote out, we discussed my diet and what I was eating every day. She had me write out a menu and then she explained to me the reason why she was doing this, because if you watch what you're eating during pregnancy, you can prevent things like toxemia, preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, all by watching what you eat during pregnancy. But the doctors don't tell you this. Why? Because if you get high risk during pregnancy, they make more money off you.
And did your midwife at any time talk about the emotional journey of pregnancy with you and how that might affect your baby, or was it just food related?
Oh no, absolutely. She was wonderful. My dog had died during my last pregnancy. He, you know, I'd had him since I was in high school, and he was a very much loved family member. And I remember going into my midwife and I was crying and she just held my hand and cried with me. If I had had a doctor, I don't think I would have had that experience. And she was great. Like at any point during my pregnancy, if I felt like I was too stressed or overwhelmed, I could just go to the birth center and relax and sit in the library and just read books. And they made that available to their clients, which I felt was great, because as a mom with, you know, a lot of little ones running around, sometimes you just need that little place to escape, even for just an hour. Mm-hmm. And I could bring my kids with me and they had a playroom, and, you know, there was a wonderful emotional relationship, as well as they really looked out for my health and well-being during my pregnancy. And I never got that from any other prenatal care before.
Quite incredible. And did you use a doula during any of your pregnancies, or was it just the birthing center? Or
I did not use a doula. I had at the birth center, I was fortunate where they had, I kind of got a doula as like a courtesy thing. They had student midwives who acted as doulas if and when I needed them. They stayed as hands-on or hands-off as I wanted, and I was pretty hands-off with my last birth. With doulas with me, I didn't really find out about doulas until later on. With my first pregnancy, I had twins, and I had a C-section. So I didn't really know at the time. I was 21. I was pretty young, and I didn't have a whole lot of information available. I did read a whole lot, but I read a lot mostly about twin pregnancy as opposed to birth. And at that point, I kind of figured the idea of natural birth. My doctor, through the whole pregnancy, led me to believe, nope, it's going to be a C-section. Like, get the idea of a natural birth out of your head. And he did tell me if both babies were head down that I could try for it, but he really was discouraging with the whole idea of it. So I didn't even let my mind go there. And then when I got pregnant with my next baby, I wasn't even passionate about birth so much as I was passionate about avoiding a C-section. And I read and studied as much as I could. I obsessed over not having another C-section because that experience was awful. that was, to date, that was the most horrible, painful experience of my life.
And was that the post-birth period that you're referring to?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was absolutely horrific. I couldn't stand up straight for 2 weeks. I felt like I was on fire. I felt like my guts were literally on fire, just burning for 2 weeks. It was awful. I remember during that time, I thought I was never going to be out of pain. That's how excruciating it was. I was thankful that my twins were in the NICU at the time because I could not imagine having been home and taking care of two newborns while recovering from a C-section. I was at the hospital. I was at the NICU with them every day, sitting in a rocking chair, but I couldn't imagine getting up and down, out of bed, up and down. I couldn't imagine doing that with a C-section recovery. Mm. So I feel so much for the mothers that have to do that.
Yeah. And a lot, so many women choose to have a C-section, don't they?
I think a lot of times that's got to be the doctors telling them that, oh, it's so much better this way, because it's if you do the research on the trauma it does to the body and to the baby. I have a friend of mine who had three C-sections, and the last one, she had an infection so bad that the infection is what could have killed her.
Goodness.
The C-section went smooth. The pregnancy was smooth, but the infection post-birth from the C-section, and she took care of it fine. It was a staph infection from the hospital. Mm. And that stuff happens more commonly than the media. The media doesn't let you know about that. They don't report those. Mm. They just, you never hear about that stuff, but that happens, and it happens in real life to real women all the time.
So your subsequent pregnancies then, mm-hmm. tell us what the, you know, because you had another three pregnancies, isn't it?
Yeah. So
what
with
were they
my,
like?
With my C-section, after I recovered from that and, you know, the twins were a bit more grown, I had my second pregnancy. I got pregnant with my third son when the twins were about 18 months old. So I had him literally just 2 weeks before the twins turned two. And that pregnancy I had with a nurse midwife. I had him at a hospital in Indiana, and I had a really detailed birth plan. I'd studied throughout that whole pregnancy about VBAC, and I didn't start out passionate about natural birth. I did start out passionate about not wanting another C-section and avoiding surgery. So I studied about every single thing I could: episiotomies, epidurals, Pitocin, what it was, what it could do, the effects it had on labor, the effects it had on me, the effects it had on my baby. I just researched. As a stay-at-home mom, I was fortunate to be able to do that. And so I just researched the whole time. So when it came time to have the baby, I had told my nurse midwife, and I realized at one point that she might be a problem, because I remember telling her during one of my appointments that I wanted to have the baby natural. I did not want an epidural, because I had read about the epidural slowing down labor, and that if labor didn't progress, I could end up with a repeat C-section. And at that time, I had two toddlers, and my husband was working two jobs. So there was no way I could take care of three babies on my own and recover from a C-section. The thought of that was absolutely terrifying. So I told this to my midwife, my nurse midwife, and she looked at me and said, "Don't try to be a hero. You're going to have an epidural. That's the end of it." Yes. And at that point, I knew, okay, you're going to be a problem. And I wrote out a birth plan. And she also told me that if I did not give birth by my due date, that she was scheduling me a C-section, and she would not let me go even one day over because I was a VBAC, and because my babies were close, they were, you know, less than 2 years apart. At that point, I decided, well, I'm not going to the hospital until I'm in active labor. You can schedule a C-section all you want. I won't be there. There was my little rebellious side kicking in. Fortunately, my baby came exactly on his due date, which was rather odd because they don't do that.
No.
But I also calculated my due dates from my period, and that I realized that was a lot more accurate. The ultrasound due date was not accurate. That was off 2 weeks. That would have caused me to have a C-section. But but I went by my period, and so I was fortunate. And my baby came on his due date, and the nurse midwife didn't even show up until I was pushing. I was really fortunate. When I got to the hospital, I showed the nurses my birth plan, and they looked at me with this oh boy look, and they gave me this really nice young nurse. And then about 20 minutes into my labor there, they swapped her out with an older woman, and the older woman, I loved her. She came in and she says, "They gave you to me because I'm actually a doula." I was like, "Thank you so much." And she brought me food. She brought me drink. She massaged my feet. She was amazing. And because of her, I had probably, I would consider this a beautiful birth for a hospital experience. It was the best birth experience I could have asked for in a hospital situation. I had the lights dimmed. I had music playing. My mom was there as my cheerleader, and this nurse midwife that wanted to push the epidural on me stayed away until I was pushing the baby out. So it was a beautiful. My next birth would go the same way. I had my next baby in a hospital in Florida. At this time, I had, you know, between the two babies, we had moved back from Indiana. We'd moved back to Florida. So I had my next baby with the same doctor's office that I had my twins with. He had a nurse midwife working in his office. And I had, you know, at that point, I'd already had a successful VBAC, so I didn't think it was going to be a problem. And throughout my whole pregnancy, I continued to research more and more about more natural births. I couldn't get enough. And I started reading Ina May Gaskin books, and I really just obsessed over the subject matter to the point where I was considering becoming a doula. And then I had my next baby when I went into labor with my next baby, and I got to the hospital, and my doctor had worked out of two hospitals, and I had called him up. Well, I remember saying to him during my pregnancy, I asked, "Does it matter which hospital I go to when I get into labor? Because one hospital's closer to my house and one's closer to my mom's house." And he said, "No, it doesn't matter. I do VBACs at both hospitals, so just go to whichever one you're closer to at the time." So that's what I did. And then they called him up when I was in labor, and he rings my – they didn't even have any rooms available. I was laboring in triage the entire time. And he calls me up, and he says, "Hey, Jackie, what are you doing at that hospital?" I said, "Well, I'm getting ready to have a baby. What else would I be doing at the hospital?" And he says, "Well, I don't do VBACs at that hospital, so you have to either get to this hospital or you need to somehow push that baby out by 2 p.m. while my nurse midwife is there. Otherwise, you're being signed up for another C-section."
And oh, my goodness.
I lost it. I'm in labor at this point. I lost it on him, and I just started screaming at him and said, "I'll just sign out of here and sign out against medical advice." And I looked at the nurses, and I said, "You're not needed to do anything except catch the baby and cut the cord, and I can do that on my own without you." So, I mean, I was, at this point, you know, I was basically at the hospital just in case anything went wrong, but I basically knew everything I needed to know. I trusted my body. Mm. My mom, fortunately, having been there for my last birth, my mom believed in me, and she supported me, and she had snuck food. They weren't wanting to let me eat or drink during labor, and my mom saw the success of my previous birth, so she was acting, I didn't have a doula, but my mom acted as closely to one as she could have. And she was a great support and a great cheerleader for me. And she brought me like pudding cups and Jello cups so that I had stuff to eat in labor. And we kind of just did it anyway, regardless. And my cousin was there and she massaged my back. So thanks to my mom and my cousin, I was able to have a somewhat pleasant experience, but it really was not. It was really a traumatic birth experience with the nurses having to argue with me the entire time and making it as hellish as possible as they could. Once you're in the hospital and they know that you don't want their drugs and you don't want their Pitocin and that you're going to listen to your body and that you might be in labor for 12 to 16 hours, that you're not going to go on their clock, they tend to really not like you at that point. Mm. So I feel at that point, if you're going to give birth in a hospital, you have to have a good support system with you to fight for your rights and to fight for what you want for your birth. That's a memory, that's an experience that's going to live with you. After that birth experience, I was so depressed. I got pregnant with my next baby with the idea in my head that there's no way I'm going to a doctor. There's no way I'm stepping foot in the hospital under any circumstance. You know, at that point, I'd had two successful VBACs with no episiotomy, no epidural, no Pitocin. I refused. I stuck to my guns, and it was a fight, but I fought for my rights, and I fought for what I wanted, and I managed to get my way and have no Pitocin for either of my hospital births. With the last one, I decided, okay, there's no way I'm even stepping foot. I'm not dealing with that headache. This is my last baby. I'm not doing, you know, I want to have the birth of my dreams. Mm. I sought out a birth center that would take VBACs because a lot of times when you've already had a C-section, sometimes the law will work against you depending on where you're at. Mm. Some places the law is very lenient and having a VBAC is no big deal. Other places they go by the rule of once a C-section, always a C-section. And for some reason, the state of Florida is always in flux about this decision. When I was pregnant with my last baby, they were back and forth between, yes, you can VBAC, but it has to be at a birth center. And I think now the law is, yes, you can VBAC, but it has to be at home and cannot be at a birth center. So every few years, they flip on this. But I found the Hollywood Birth Center and Debbie Marin, and she was amazing. I looked at her as a second mom throughout my pregnancy. She gave me incredible emotional support that I did not get with my doctor, my nurse midwives, or anywhere else. And she held my hand when I cried. She went over diet counseling and spent 45 minutes to an hour with me every visit. She recommended books to me. I like to wear these big black boots. I love them. I love my boots. And she had this book. She had a client that reminded her of this previous client she had that wrote a book saying, "My mommy wears combat boots." And so she gave me a lot of great resources to read and things to watch. And she was just a wonderful person for me to have during my pregnancy that I wished every woman could have someone like her. Mm. You know, because I feel like having a care provider that will sit there and answer any question you have, that is not trying, my doctor was always trying to rush me out of the office as quickly as possible, where Debbie didn't do that. Debbie sat with me and, you know, took the time to ask me, "Do you have any questions? Is there anything going on emotionally at home? Is there anything you want to talk about? Or are you okay?" You know, it wasn't always just about the baby. She was actually interested in my well-being. I never had that with a care provider before, with not just pregnancy, but at all. Mm. I never had a doctor that took an interest in me and cared about my emotional well-being. And so I feel like that also plays a role in pregnancy and in birth, is how a woman is treated emotionally.
And you mentioned that you felt you had a period of depression after that traumatic birth you mentioned. How do you feel that that was directly linked to your birth experience?
Absolutely. When I had my fourth son, I experienced severe postpartum depression just based on the birth. I relived that birth in my head 1,000 times a day. It was awful. And then the worst part is, like, that really stuck with me was I knew that those nurses that had made my birth experience a living hell, I knew that to those women, I was just one more face, and that they were doing that to other women. Mm. And they're not going to remember my face from the next woman, but I'm going to remember them for the rest of my life. Mm. You know, they're going to forget me as soon as I go home, but I'm going to remember them forever. Mm. And I really wanted a redemption birth. I was so depressed that when I got pregnant with my next baby, I was so adamant. I said to my husband at the time, my ex-husband, I said to him and my mom, I looked them both in the eyes and I said, I need you guys to back me up. I am not going to step foot in a hospital. I'm either going to find a midwife or I'm going to have this baby alone with an unassisted birth. And the idea of an unassisted birth, it didn't make me 100% comfortable. It did scare me with the factor of what if just in case and I can't see what's going on down there. And, you know, so I definitely wanted a midwife there, but I was willing to forego having anybody there if it meant going back to the hospital. That's how depressed and how traumatized I was, that I was willing to do it completely on my own rather than go through another experience like what I had. Mm.
So how did you get over it or move past your depression?
When I realized that I would be able to have another birth experience, it helped a lot, because I felt like even though that one experience was going to stick with me, I felt like it was therapeutic. It was the catharsis that I needed to be able to kind of to heal emotionally from that, because it's an emotional thing that I think people who haven't experienced any sort of birth trauma, they don't really understand, and they just kind of think, well, okay, why don't you just get over it, whatever, it's just one experience, just one day. But to me, you know, birthing experience, that's one of the most important events of my life. That's when I'm meeting one of the most important people I'm ever going to meet. So I got past that experience through being able to have redemption with a more beautiful, peaceful, and loving experience. Mm.
And has that completed the healing for you, or do you feel there might be some more to do?
I feel that in making this film, I feel that completing beautiful births is what actually completed the healing cycle for me. Mm. Because in being able to create this film, without putting my personal experience into the film, I'm able to help other women avoid those types of experiences by giving them information. Mm. And I feel like being able to prevent another woman from having that type of experience, that goes a long way towards healing my trauma.
And did you notice with your children, I just wondered whether or not you observed any sort of the trauma maybe sort of rubbing off on them, or whether how that affected maybe the post-birth period with them, or did you notice anything with
your children? You know, I really didn't. My children, I was really lucky. I have all boys, and they have very calm. I'm pretty much a very calm person, and I mean, most of the time, we all have our moments, but most of the time, I'm a pretty calm and laid back person. And my children, when they were babies, when they were infants, they were always very calm. And when they would fuss, I extend nursed with the last two. And with the one that was the traumatic birth, I actually nursed him the longest. I nursed him until he was three. And he was he's definitely the most chaotic of my children. I don't know if his birth experience had anything to do with that, if it rubbed off on his personality at all. But when I say chaotic of my children, I mean he's just the most mischievous of them. He's very curious about everything. He's into everything. He's a handful for sure. I wouldn't give him up. I wouldn't trade him for anything. I love him to death, but he's a handful. as a baby, it's funny because I used to always say, and I remember saying to him, I was like, you know, when by the time he was born, he's an Irish twin. So the one, my two middle ones are just a year apart, even born like October 2005 and October 2006. So by the time I had William, I was kind of juggling babies and toddlers. And I remember saying to him all the time when I'd be nursing him, and he was so calm and such a peaceful baby. And I would say, you're not gonna be crazy and give me chaos like your brothers are, which who were in the terrible threes at that time. And then of course, when he hit the terrible twos and terrible threes, he took it to a whole new level and gave me a run for my money.
I don't know how you did it. I just don't know how you did it.
Well, he's number four, and I always say that if anyone's going to give me a heart attack, it's going to be that kid. He's going to give me a heart attack. But it's only because he's just very, very curious. He's into everything. He definitely keeps me on my toes in the best way possible, but he's very curious about his world and the I look at that as a good thing, but he's definitely a handful, and I don't know if that comes from the birth experience or not.
So now when you think about your own births, when you sort of look back on them, are you left with a sort of a positive feeling? Do you feel that when you think about birth, it's a positive thing, or is it quite mixed for you?
So with my personal experiences, with the first one being a C-section, the second one being a positive hospital VBAC, the third birth being a negative hospital VBAC, and then the fourth birth being the birth of my dreams. It was a beautiful water birth by candlelight with music playing. My son was born to the song Just Like Heaven by The Cure. Aww. It was a beautiful moment. And I feel like when I look back on the whole experience of, you know, the early 20s when I was having my babies, I look at it as a positive thing. Those are moments that when I reflect, even the negative, I was able to learn something from it, and I was able to take that negative experience and heal through my next birth, and then taking all of my experiences and creating art, which is, you know, the documentary. And I feel like art therapy and hearing other women's negative stories and then hearing their positive stories and hearing women who only have positive stories and hearing women who only have negative stories and hearing a mix of women who have negative and positive stories. I want to be able to help those women who so far only have the negative stories to turn them into having a positive story as well. Because I feel like birth is such a beautiful, such an empowering, and depending on how you look at it, it can even be such a spiritual experience that I feel like to have that experience robbed from you and to have it bright and loud and in this sterile and oftentimes hostile environment, which is the hospital, I feel like that really robs a woman from what can be a truly beautiful experience. But I also did experience my own beautiful hospital birth. So it's definitely a possible thing to do. It's just a lot harder to accomplish in a hospital.
Well, I mean, I've just noticed how long we've been chatting, and it's been, we could be chatting for ages. It's just been amazing listening to all these birth experiences that you've had. I mean, I feel like I've only had two, you know, my goodness, I really should get cracking here and have a few more.
You have home birth, so, you know, you're good.
I was very, very fortunate. And it's funny, in my most recent birth, when I had a few problems having to, because my little one was late according to the medical team, not according to my due date, but according to them. And so I was pressured into being monitored. And every time I had to go in and have baby monitored, I remember thinking, lying there with these, you know, with all the straps on, thinking, oh my goodness, if I go into labour now, this is the last place I want to be. I need to get home quick. This is the last place I ever want to be if I'm in labour. It just felt like such a horrid environment to be in. And it seemed so odd, because when I was telling people I was going to have a home birth, a lot of people were like, well, why are you doing that? You know, a lot of people still don't realise that home birth is okay and it's actually fine and it's probably safer. That education piece still is not getting out there, is it?
It really is a shame, because I feel like all women need is to be educated, to be empowered. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of really great books on the subject. I mean, I spent 10 years researching this subject during my own experiences. And then even afterwards, there was a time I really thought I was going to go and become a midwife and a doula. And I realized two things. One, I'm an artist, and I honestly don't know how to be or do anything else. It's what I've done my entire life. But I also realized that with 5 young children and now being a single mom, there's no way that I would have the time to put in the hours round the clock the way a midwife does. And I have the utmost respect for midwives, doulas, and the work that they do, that I want to help other women realize they have choices, they have options. And if you don't have the time to do 10 years of research, or you don't have the time to sit down and read a book, which can be lengthy, then take an hour of your time and watch my movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And certainly that's what I want to try and do with this podcast, where they can just listen to it in little bite-sized chunks to just start educating themselves and know there is a better way, there is another way, there's a positive way. It doesn't have to be a scary outcome. It doesn't have to be a fearful outcome that there is. But at the root of that, it's education. It really is. I think a lot of people's fears come from being misinformed or assuming it has a particular, they have to go a particular way. And so just getting the facts, just being informed, can really help a woman so much. So what you've done is amazing. It's an amazing feat that you've pulled that together. And really, you know, it's amazing that you've had to do it as well. You know, why isn't this stuff out there already?
Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, that's exactly how when I realized that this stuff wasn't out there, and then I saw the response. I mean, I put up a mini version on YouTube just before I finished film school, because I wanted to know, I was curious, you know, is it worth my time to go through and make the feature? Are people actually interested in hearing the other side of it? Mm. And then when it got, I remember when that video got 2,000 views, and I only posted it on my personal Facebook page. I didn't share it anywhere else. And two of my friends asked me if they could share it, and I said, please, please do. And within a week, that video had 2,000 views. And I remember when it had 2,000 views, I thought, wow, okay, I guess people do want to hear this. And then within a few months, it was at half a million views.
Oh my
goodness. And then it was at 1 million views, and then 2 million. And now it's at 4.7 million views.
Wow.
And that's what it really, you know, like I said, when it had 2,000 views, I was blown away at 2,000. And then when it hit, you know, half a million, I was just, wow, okay, there's definitely a need for this, and people need this information. Even if you're pro-hospital, and you, like, that's one of the points I wanted to emphasize, is that because I am biased towards out-of-hospital births, that does not mean in any way that I'm 100% against hospital births. If you're high risk, or if there's any possible chance that there could be something wrong with your baby, or if you just feel safer in a hospital, then by all means, please have your baby where you're comfortable. But even in a hospital, you have rights, and you can have a beautiful experience, and you don't deserve to be bullied at all.
Yeah. And it so really, being able to sort of manage what happens to you in hospital really comes from being well informed.
Yeah, exactly. It really does. I mean, I'm only against hospital births because of my own personal experience. But I also, like I said, and I'm very open about the fact that I had a doula as a nurse in Indiana at Methodist Hospital, and she was amazing. And because of her, I did have a beautiful hospital birth. But unfortunately, I also had a very, very negative hospital birth after that one. So it can go either way. And there are women who have home births and have midwives that have negative experiences. But that's why it really boils down to your environment, what you're comfortable with knowing. And if you don't know your body, and if you don't trust your body, and if you have that fear, you're not going to feel comfortable in a out of hospital experience.
So when, if somebody wants to watch your films, we've been talking about your film, where can they get hold of your film if they wanted to watch it today?
My film is available, currently it's exclusively available through the website, which is www.beautifulbirthsdocumentary.com. And you can either order a DVD or you can watch it on Vimeo. You can purchase it on Vimeo or you can rent it. And I'm giving your listeners a special coupon to take 25% off the purchase. This will not be valid towards the rental, but it will go towards the purchase on Vimeo or the DVD. If you type in checkout, you type in the promo code capital letters BBD and then lowercase letters podcast. So it would be BBD podcast. Type that in at checkout and that'll give you 25% off your purchase of Beautiful Births.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Jackie, for that. That's much appreciated. Really, really do. So I will have that discount code in the podcast show notes on the fearfreechildbirth.com website. So if you just go to the fearfreechildbirth.com/BBD, then you'll have that link and everything you need right there and a link straight to buy the film from this show notes that we're listening to today. So thank you, Jackie, for the discount code, but also just a big thank you for all mums out there and all future mums out there for the work you've done. It really is. We need more stuff like this, and I'm really grateful that you've, you know, taken the time and the effort to put out such a film, and I'm sure that you are going to get so many more words of thanks globally for this piece of work that you've done. It really is an honor to speak to you today. I really want to thank you for coming on the podcast as well.
That's the best compliment someone can say, is thank you for this, because I really feel like that there's a need for this. And that's, you know, I mean, hearing from women around the world about people writing in and telling me their personal experiences, which I love that. So if anyone wants to write and tell me their personal birth experience, I love reading birth stories. But I also, it makes me feel a sense of accomplishment that I don't think I've gotten from any other piece of work I've ever created aside from my children. Mm. There's a satisfaction in knowing that women need this and want this. And I'm happy to have been able to provide that.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for joining me on the Fear Free Childbirth podcast. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you
so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman from the Fear Free Childbirth podcast. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really love it if you left a review on iTunes or Stitcher or shared it with a friend. And don't forget, to get a free chapter from her book, head over to fearfreechildbirth.com to get your copy, as well as finding other episodes in this podcast and more about how Alexia can help you with pregnancy and birth preparation coaching. Until next time.